Waltzing Australia, written by Tim Borthwick and read by Jack Thompson. I was sitting out in Winton on a stool beside the bar when a bloke came on the telly with his trusty old guitar with a rousing, loud rendition, and the punters sang along to a song about a swagman and a western billabong. It was international rugby at its quintessential best, and that song that he was singing was inspired in the West, and it stirred a lot of passion, and it fired up the soul. And it all began near Winton, by a muddy waterhole. When Banjo wrote the lyrics by a Diamantina Moon and the talented Christina put the ditty to a tune, they could never have imagined how the song would play a part in the shaping of our country and in every Aussie heart. And I felt the banjo's presence from my stool beside the bar as I watched that game of rugby on that foreign field afar. And I saw the young Christina with a songbook in her hand, while 100,000 Aussies were all cheering from the stand. Now from sporting fields and stadiums both here and round the world, and wherever there's a contest or an Aussie flag unfurled, it's our unofficial anthem, and it's sung with joy and pride from the cities and the beaches out across the countryside. And I cannot help but marvel how the song has been embraced by so many generations and the passion it has placed in the hearts of all Australians when they hear it being sung from the oldest of our people to the youngest of our young, from the rolling plains at sundown to that western waterhole, to a rugby international when we kick the winning goal. It's the song that bonds Australians, and you'll hear them proudly say it was written out in Queensland and away out Winton way. From Twickenham in England to the dusty plains out back, from the hallowed turf in London to a swagman on the track, it all started here near Winton with the spirit of a soul who had waltzed his old Matilda to a muddy waterhole. And I'd like to think the swagman is an avid rugby fan, for that song we sing together has immortalised the man. When the crowds rise up in chorus and we hold our head up high, we can feel the jolly swagman and his spirit waltzing by. And I'd like to thank the banjo for the lyrics that he wrote, and his friendship with Christina that all started with a note, and that poor, forgotten swagman who has left us with a song and whose ghost may waltz forever by that western billabong.
Now, I got contacted by a bush poet, Tim Borthwick, who's from Toowoomba in Queensland, and he's written a book of 50 poems, and Tim's on the line from up in Queensland today. G'day, Tim.
G'day, Graham. How are you today?
Yeah, good, mate. Good to have you on the line. Now, we haven't actually done poetry on the show, but we've talked to songwriters and we talked to chefs who cook things up. I suppose a poet who cooks up a book is probably worth a discussion.
We've
actually just heard Jack Thompson recite one of your poems. I believe you got Jack to actually put your whole book down on tape or digital recording.
He did, Graham. He read the whole book from cover to cover. He did a really good job. It was probably the best accolade I think I've ever had, getting Jack to agree to associate his name with the book.
How did you manage that?
It was just a very, very fortunate day, I guess. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I know that Jack has always been very partial to a bit of poetry, and he certainly does it well.
I think your particular style of poetry appeals to him. He's played a few characters that are you know, iconically Australian, and the style that you've adopted or adapted, or sure what you'd say you've done, is sort of Henry Lawson, Banjo Paterson style, the rhyme and the rhythm.
So it definitely is, Graham. They call it on the back of the book, they call it a unique collection of original Australian bush ballads and the stories that inspired him in the tradition of Banjo Paterson and Henry Lawson. And Yeah, Banjo and Henry were basically my biggest influence, I guess, as I was, you know, growing up as a kid. I read a lot of their works, and I was always intrigued by the way they could, you know, tell a yarny rhyme and maintain their rhythm as well throughout. Yeah. And as I grew older, it was a challenge I took on, and even today I still enjoy sourcing a story and trying to relate that story in rhythm and a rhyme. And the whole book, the whole 50 poems, it's all, you know, rhyming poetry. It's the only poetry I understand is rhythm and rhyme. And it's just a bit of an extra challenge to, yeah, write a 400 or 500 or 600 even word poem and maintain that rhythm and rhyme throughout.
Yeah, we've got a lot of foreign listeners, particularly on our SoundCloud site, where this will obviously be being heard by quite a few people in different parts of the world. Is there another country in the world that has the style of poetry we have in Australia? Do you know?
I don't know, Graham. I'd be surprised. I think it's a fairly unique thing we've got happening here in Australia, and I'm just very, very pleased and proud, I guess, to be part of that.
Yeah, and okay. There are cowboys in other parts of the world and people who ride mountain horses and all that sort of stuff.
No, there's plenty of them.
I haven't heard poetry from, from the desert in Arizona. It may be there, but. And I guess I ask you the question because people who are listening overseas might wonder what it is about this Australian poetry that appeals so much to us. How would you describe it?
Well, I just think it's very easy to read. It's a sort of poetry that anyone can relate to. I've been, told time and time again that people were put off, you know, poetry at school and reading poetry they didn't understand, but my style of poetry is very, anyone can read it, anyone can enjoy it, and I think that is the difference. And what I've done with this book too, I've attributed a 500 or 600 word short story with each poem, and I basically give the poem a bit more background and what inspired me to put it to verse. And between the poetry and the little stories, it's quite a unique book in the current marketplace, and people are commenting all the time that they really, really, really enjoy that concept, and they like reading the little story and then what I was thinking and how I went about putting the poem together, and that's sort of a bit of a difference in the book as well, I think. But definitely my style of poetry does seem to appeal to a lot of people, and I just think it's because it is so, well, it's all rhyming, it all maintains that rhythm. They're all structured differently. I mean, just about every poem in the book has got a slightly different, you know, rhyming structure, I guess. And that was a good thing about Jack too. He really interpreted the poems well. I don't think anyone else we could have interpreted them the way that they were meant to be. And I really think that he's read them pretty much the same as they were, you know, written to be read.
Yeah.
And that is a bit of an art in itself. But Jack's, you know, done a really good job there, and he's picked it up really well. And I couldn't be happier with the way he's done it.
Well, it's a great honour to you that he would do it. This, for those people who don't know Jack Thompson, he's probably one of Australia's most eminent actors. Has certainly worked in Hollywood. He's performed in some magnificent screen work here in Australia. He's also he trod the boards a little. He's done some live stuff as well, I believe.
He's
the definition of laconic. And probably that's something that would tend to also identify the type of poetry that you produce. Would that be fair?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I think laconic and iconic, I think, has summed Jack up pretty well.
Yeah.
There's a few amusing poems in the book. Whether it's a very, sobering story about a little girl, you know, wandering away to her death, or a relatively, you know, humorous poem, he can change his voice, and I'm just really, really pleased with the way he's done it, and And I don't think he could have done a better job of it, really. And,
I agree. Now, I suppose the closest thing that Americans might find to this work is their country music. Has anyone tried to put any of your work to music?
No, they haven't as yet, Graham. That'd be the next step, though. I'd really love to work with a songwriter or someone who can convert my words to music. I think that'd be really, really good. I haven't really gone down that road yet, but it is something I'd like to explore. Yeah,
well, they are simple country stories you pretty much tell, aren't they?
They are, and I think that's what appeals to people. I just think they're easy to read and they're not only informative, but they're entertaining, I guess, as well. And at the same time, we're putting down a bit of history, I guess. We're paying tribute to a lot of our pioneering people and of uncovered stories that, people have never, heard of before.
Do you do sort of formal research in the local library, Tim?
I do a little bit. I don't go into really deep research, but I get the basic story and which is all I think you need. I don't think you need to go into too much detail, but I just get the basic story and set about putting it to rhyme and once you've got a story in your head, it's sort of amazing how quickly it comes together. It you just start running a few lines around in your head and it's amazing how the poems come about, really. But
Do you reckon you could whip out a poem about Donald Trump?
Oh, I think I might keep away from that one. But I haven't gone down the political road or anything in that regard. All my poetry is basically, it's all older style. I don't really, all the modern technology and that, I keep away from all that. Basically, it's pioneering, going back. Basically detailing my own experiences in the bush and paying tribute to a lot of our pioneering people and even country music stars in Australia like Slim Dusty and Stan Costa and the old Cobb and Co coaching days and people like Jeannie Gunn from We the Never Never fame up in the Northern Territory and just different and a lot of just different humorous stories that I've put to verse, I guess, and there's a few war themes there and it's just been a great opportunity to put the book together. And I was given the opportunity back in 2016. I was given the chance to put the manuscript together, and we didn't know at that point whether it ever come to fruition or not. But I was lucky that HarperCollins jumped at the opportunity, and within a year we had a good, nice little hardcover book out.
Fantastic. Now, have you got another project you're working on at the minute?
Oh, well, I'm always writing. I mean, I've got more than enough, poems to do another similar book, which would it'd be great to go around again if I get the opportunity to go around again. It'd be really good. I'm actually launching the book that they're out in Winton in Western Queensland. That's actually where the idea of this book was born, out there.
I should just interject and say that's the birthplace of Qantas, the international airline. It's a small country town.
And it's also the birthplace of Waltzing Matilda, Australia's famous song.
Yep.
Waltzing Matilda is where Banjo Paterson wrote and read Waltzing Matilda or sang Waltzing Matilda for the very first time in the bar of the North Gregory Hotel out there in Winton, and that's where the Waltzing Australia poem came from. And there'll be about 6,000 or 7,000 people there next month. They're opening a brand new $23 or $24 million Waltzing Matilda Centre.
Okay.
In Winton, and I'm actually having another book launch at the Winton Library the day before. It's got a really stirring tune, and
it does.
And people sing it all around the world. And I made mention of the fact a few times in the Waltzing Australia poem that you've just heard.
And
I just think it's something that everyone gets behind, and wherever they are around the world, it just gives them that little sense of being at home again, and it's just amazing the longevity of it all. It's been well over 100 years since that song was written, and it's still as relevant today as it was back then, and I just think it's just going from strength to strength.
I guess Aussies around the world do relate to exactly what you've just said, Tim. Look, it's been terrific speaking with you. Now, if people overseas are interested in getting a hold of the book, how can they do that?
Through ABC Online. ABC Online, that'll be the best way from overseas.
Okay, so ABC being our Australian Broadcasting Corporation, that's a government media arm. So abc.gov.au, is it?
I have to look that one
we'll
up.
Look but it up and we'll put it on the SoundCloud listing. We'll give those who aren't in Australia.
But I think it's a great, it's a very Australiana type book, this one. I think anyone around the world would, you know, really, really enjoy it, and for what it is, because it is it's very easy to read type book, and it's just that rhyme that sets it off, I guess, and it's just a great little souvenir of Australia, I guess.
Right. Now, Tim, does it come with Jack's audio, or
no? It's separate. They're two separate things.
So you can buy them. Can you buy Jack's audio or not?
Absolutely. The audio is through Bolinda Audio in Melbourne. They did the audio version.
So it is available from someone else.
Probably through Bolinda. Okay. But I think ABC Online would have it as well.
Okay.
It'd be ABC Online as well, yeah, absolutely.
All right, yep. Well, we'll check what the availability is for both the audio and the written or printed book, and we'll put that on the SoundCloud listing. Well, Tim Borthwick.
That'd be great, Graham, thank you.
Tim Borthwick, thanks very much for being on Travel Writers Radio.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.